are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9
Today,
FM.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
Could you imagine bringing a lamb? Anybody ever been to a lamb slaughterhouse? You ever seen them in California, lamb slaughter? They sound like babies. It sounds like 1,000 babies are crying. Could you imagine going to a system where you got to drag a bull because God is so angry with you? You got to drag a lamb to church, kill it, and spill it at the altar? He's trying to show you through the nation of Israel that these things are inferior. You'll never work yourself into the favor of the Lord. You need a Savior who loved you, who died on the cross for you.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Justice for All. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8.
The Old Testament prophet, minor prophet, Micah chapter 6. I see a lot of new faces. And it's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Let's welcome our visitors. A lot of new faces. Keep spreading the gospel. Invite someone to your church. If it's good enough for you, it should be good enough for them. Micah 6 and 6 through verse 8. NIV is the version of the Bible we'll be reading from. The word of the Lord reads like this. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Look at verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Very simple. I want to put that up in the New King James, the part B of that same verse, verse 8. I want to look at it in the New King James version of the Bible. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Let's look at verse 8, I'm saying. Okay, it's there. Yeah, verse 8, please. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, or to do just, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before the Lord. To act justly, or to do justice. That's what he requires. To love mercy, you got to love it, and to walk humbly before the Lord. From the subject this morning, as we advance the kingdom, justice for all. Father, I give you praise for the call to justice out of Micah chapter 6. And I pray that as I teach, Father, there would be an awakening in our hearts and a motivation to step outside of the walls and beyond temperament and disposition, as we are called to do justly, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk in humility before our God. You're not fascinated with thousands of rams or major sacrifices, or for some around the world in time past to offer their children up as a sacrifice for their own sins. Help me to unveil truth about this to the nations of our world, that you really call us to be the agents of change. When we see maladies and things in our communities, that we would rally or levy support to act justly, to make sure fairness and equality is administered to all of your people. And Father, I give you praise for those who are in the margins, who have no voice, who can't speak for themselves. Allow us to become the voice of the unheard. And Father, I pray against riots and pray against burnings of buildings, because all it is a language of those who have never been listened to before. So we give you praise for that voice being heard in the halls of those who are in positions of authority, for those commissioners and municipalities and administrators who govern, who sits on thrones that govern our community. Help them, Father, to understand that justice for all is the call of God. And Father, we give you praise for helping that awareness come alive in the hearts of your people, even through and by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I've only ministered a few times in my life about justice. I've always believed in justice, but to minister on it, it is not an easy thing, because it's not something that has been heard a lot from the text, from the actual text, from the scriptures. But if you ran in a concordance the word justice, you're going to see it over 100 times in scripture. Over 100 times the word justice is mentioned in scripture. And so I want to identify some areas of the word of God that I believe God has called us to, so we can be effective as we move forward. I believe God has called every church to have a justice mindset or justice ministry. And again, I will identify some areas that I believe is very important for us to examine, essential areas that I believe the Lord has called us to. So I welcome you to this teaching, and I thank you for your activation. Micah is a minor prophet. It doesn't mean that he's short or that he's insignificant. The word minor, you have minor and major prophets in the Old Testament. The minor prophet is there because his book may not be large. He's called minor in terms of the size of his book, but he's very powerful and potent in terms of content. Micah, M-I-C-A-H, Micah. And so we want to think about that. You have major prophets because they have large books like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Minor prophets like Zechariah and Daniel and Micah are minor, not because of the insignificance, but because of the size. He writes to us in chapter 6 and uses some Old Testament ideas here, because many in the Old Testament are familiar that if you were to please God, it is through the shedding of blood that there is remission of sin. The Old Testament was never designed to remit sin, but to cover sin. Only Christ's blood became the remission for sin, because the blood in Christ is pure. The blood of animals and goats cannot really take away sin. It can only cover sin. And this is why so many people who don't understand these systems of what God used, the system that he used for the nation of Israel, is for the nation of Israel, not for the Christian church today. Yet many people grew up in ministries where the leaders got off in looking at the Old Testament and trying to take the righteousness from the law of Moses that was inflicted on the church in the wilderness and trying to transfer it to the New Testament church today, totally making what Christ did of no effect. In other words, you're going to go back to Aaron when Hebrews says Aaron's priesthood is inferior to the priesthood of Christ. That he's not like Aaron. He's like after the order of Melchizedek, who Abraham gave a tenth of his own spoils. Yet many preachers, including my own, I'm talking about someone that I was raised under, mimic Moses. In other words, he was like a Moses to us. But you're not supposed to be Moses, right?
You're not supposed to be Moses giving us commandments, telling us what we can do and what we don't. That system was designed for the nation of Israel, not for the Christian church today. That's why when you come in today, you're not going to see a lot of do's and don'ts, and you can't do this, you can't wear that, you can't wear any dresses, you can't wear earrings. We want you to be fine. We want you to put on your earrings. We want you to put on some makeup and look good. Get your hair done too, because we want you to be the finest that you can be. This is not, we're not putting rules and regulations of the Old Testament on a 21st century church today. It doesn't make sense, and I'll preach myself happy. Anybody trying to enslave you, black, Hebrew, Israelites and all of that, don't go out there trying to argue with these people when they come up and set up out here on the road and start telling you that if you wear pants, you're going to hell and all of that. We don't have these regulations on you. Wear your pants and do what God has called you to do. Just be decent and in order. Amen. And so we want to follow the Pauline epistles. We want to see what Peter had to say after beating Christ. We want to get in the New Testament and see what the New Testament church is calling us to do today. Glory to God. Micah is saying he got a revelation. Is God really pleased with all of these rules and regulations and thousands of rams being killed just to cover sin? No, that's not what he was after. That's not what he was after. You see it right there in the text. What would the Lord be pleased with? What can we do to exalt the Lord? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves, a year old? Or do they really point to someone else? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? What are we talking about? You've heard it before. Work out your own soul salvation with fear, like you're trying to constantly work into a God's, the favor of God, who's always angry with you. God's anger has been quelled when Jesus died on the cross. What did he say when he was nailed on the cross? He said, "It is what?"
Finished.
Say it louder. It is what?
Finished.
What does he mean it is finished? He's saying the whole system of Aaron and bringing goats and calves to your church just to make sure you kill it and spill the blood, that system is done. I completed it for you. That's why people that came up in these ministries can't even praise when I'm talking now. They can't praise. I mean, they have to have a leader that's sitting there yelling and screaming and making you feel like if you do wrong, you got to get on the altar and all of this other, trying to please men when we should be trying to please God. That's why he sent Truth Revealed, to set the captives free, even the religious world free. Give God the praise. You don't have to praise me. Give God the glory. You don't have to sit there. Go past me and get to Jesus. What are we talking about? I can't save anybody. Can't save a gnat. I got to get you to the one that can save you. Didn't we just sing it? Jireh, you are enough. Not Merton, you are enough. Run past me and get to Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Actually, Jireh is here right now. And if you praise him, he may break forth in your life. If you give him glory, he may change some things in your life. He may turn things around. And you don't have to wait till late in the midnight hour. God can turn it around right now. Let's give him a praise, because Jireh is here. Rapha is here. Nisi is here. That's why I give him praise, because I don't have to bring a bull to church and all the bull that goes with it. I got to give God the glory. It's too much bull anyway. Could you imagine bringing a goat every time you come to church? Could you imagine bringing a lamb? Anybody ever been to a lamb slaughterhouse? You ever seen them in California? Lamb slaughter. They sound like babies. They know they're being slaughtered. They can tell. It sounds like 1,000 babies are crying. Could you imagine going to a system where you got to drag a bull because God is so angry with you? You got to drag a lamb to church, kill it and spill it at the altar? He's trying to show you through the nation of Israel that these things are inferior. You'll never work yourself into the favor of the Lord. You need a Savior who loved you, who died on the cross for you. Let me help you with something else. All God wants is not a lamb, not a goat. What he wants is a squealing, living sacrifice of praise to come from the fruit of your lips. Let me get a squealing hallelujah. Say it. That ain't, I said squealing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. That's what God wants. You can't come to church sitting back, crossing your legs and act. That's what he wants. Bring in that goat of praise. Bring in that lamb that don't want to come. Your praise that don't drag it into the house. And sacrifice it here at the altar and give God the glory. Get attitude out. Get mentality out. Let's just give him praise and glory and honor. That's what God wants from this generation. Come on, let men praise the Lord. Let the men give God glory. Let men say hallelujah. Let the ladies give him praise. Let the children out honor him. Jireh, you are enough. My God. Well, I'll preach myself happy. Thank you, Lord. We got to get the mentality right, right? You came in church, you're afraid to worship because God is going to kill you. That's done. Anybody prophesying that, thus said the Lord thy God, behold, I'm in the midst of thee. I will kill thee if you offend my leader. That is not godly. It is not coming from God. It's coming from a system that's dead. Thank you, Lord. You all been in it. You've been in apostolic churches. You've seen it. I love God. Thank God for what they've been able to do. But we're living in a time now where we should be free. Ain't no apartheid in God. Apartheid? Come on, think about where we at. Glory to God. This ain't no apartheid, God. I just want you to do justly. Love mercy. Do justly. Love mercy. Let's talk about it. Biblical justice requires that every person, listen to me, every person be treated accordingly or according to the same rule or standard. This is to do justice, is to make sure everybody is treated according to the same rule or the same standard. Which means if you got a lot of money or if you have no money, there's justice. Same standard. It wouldn't say because you committed murder and you're a millionaire, you can get off because you can get a good attorney. That's not justice. That's not justice. You shouldn't be able to buy your freedom if you did something wrong. If you're going to challenge a poor person that does something wrong, the rich person should come under the same standard. Y'all understand? So let's look at justice now. That is, everybody's judged according to the same standard. Before we move, this is not socialism. We're not preaching socialism. Even though you're in the Bible, you would see how all people had everything in common. But we're living in a capitalistic society here in America, and I'm not here to preach whether that's right or wrong. What I am saying is everybody should be held in terms of their behavior and how they're treated to the same standard. Nobody, because of the color of their skin, should be marginalized. And the Christian church missed this. The Christian church missed this when slavery was enacted in America. The oldest church in America is the Methodist church. Even now, it's being split with liberalism. Same-sex relationships, that the bishops want to open it up to where you can have that in the church and it's preached. That's what's happening to the oldest church in America right now. But the Methodist church did not stand up and read Micah 6 when they saw slavery and things happening in America. They kept this silent. When the church should have stood up like I'm doing today and saying this is wrong. If we're going to have a constitution, we need to read this as well. If we say this is a Christian nation, then we need to read from the Bible then. But it didn't happen. And it was silent for over 200 years. Maybe 400 years. The Christian church was silent. This is why AME had to start. The Methodist church split because they had African Americans who were in the church, but they were marginalized. They couldn't pray at the altar with everybody else. That's why you have, when you say, why are churches divided today, you need to know history. We couldn't worship together. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln that pronounced the Emancipation Proclamation, and God used him to actually stop slavery and all of the stuff that went along with it. But the church should have been different from the world. It wasn't strong enough. After the cross, the church should have been the first to speak this. Not Abraham Lincoln. It should have come from the walls and the houses of God all over America. Glory to God. But we can't go back, but I'm just telling you. Thank you, Lord. And we can't allow these systems to rise up, these monuments to rise up in our day as well. That's why when I preach, it doesn't matter what color you are, you're all welcome here. It doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is, you're all welcome here. I'm going to preach the truth, but get the truth and live by the truth. But you're welcome to come to the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. No barriers. Ain't nobody stopping you from coming to God's house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God tried to get Peter to get this same teaching in Acts chapter 10. He was a Jew. He only believed with Jews. Paul was a Jew. But when he saw Peter had this tendency in him, that when he's around Jews, he didn't really want to associate with anybody outside of his ethnicity. Okay, he was raised in Israel and he had this tendency. He was an apostle. He was powerful, but it doesn't mean that you're perfect. You can be prejudiced and still be in the house of God. Peter was. And for all of you apostolic leaders, if you went to Peter's ministry, you want to preach Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin, and use that as a template. If you showed up in his church, he would have told you to leave. Because his prejudice wasn't dealt with until Acts 10. He preached his message in Acts chapter 3, but he didn't get delivered until Acts 10. So if you showed up talking, well, Peter, I heard your gospel. He said, well, that's you. You're a Gentile. Get lost. This is for the Jews. It wasn't until Acts 10 where God spoke to him and said, I want you to go to this particular city. There's a man named Cornelius that I've been dealing with, glory to God. He's not a Jew, he's actually a Gentile, but I want you to go to his house. And while he went up on the roof, he fell into a trance and he saw a curtain come down and it had four-legged beasts in it. And the Spirit said, kill Peter and eat. Peter resisted and said, oh no, I've never eaten anything unclean before in my life. God says, whatever I cleanse, whatever I put my blood on, whatever comes through the four walls of the church, don't you treat it like it's a vagabond or treat it like it's not no good or treat it like it can't do anything right. I want you to treat it with equity. Make sure there's justice. Good God from God. And this is to all of the religious leaders of our day that want to preach a political party. You've got to preach the word. If it's a homosexual, if God save him, you got to love him. If it's a transvestite, you got to love him. If it's a person that had an abortion, you got to love him. You got to love all of God's people. Oh, God. Get these systems and this prejudice out of God's house. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe I should have had a whip in here, right? Drive out the money changers. Y'all ready for this? Are you ready for it? To do justice, you got to get a mentality. There's a doctrine as it relates to justice. A mentality as we move forward. No perfection, a mentality. Peter didn't get delivered until he came down off out of the trance downstairs and he started talking to Cornelius about the gospel. As he's speaking to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. In other words, there's a group of people, they're so hungry for God. If we just start telling them about the goodness of Jesus, before they can go to the water to be baptized, they'll start speaking in tongues. Peter had his doctrine saying you had to repent, this is to the Jews now, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, then you'll be saved. But in Acts chapter 10, he was talking to them before baptism, and the Holy Ghost fell on them and they got saved. Did they get saved when the Holy Ghost fell on them or when they went to the water?
You judge.
If you say they got saved when the Holy Ghost fell on them, you can't preach the doctrine of baptism like it is a gate to salvation. If it's the seal of the Holy Ghost, that's when salvation occurs, then we baptize afterwards. You can't say baptism is the criteria. You think about it. You came out of those churches. You got to understand, get the truth. And I'm not saying truth revealed is the only truth. There are millions of people preaching what I'm preaching. But when you lock people into systems like that, you will bind them up.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Justice for All, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2302-1911. That's reference number 2302-1911.
Awaken Women's Fellowship will resume in person and online on Saturday, February 25th at 9 a.m. Ladies, this is our year of faith, favor, and focus. So connect with the Awaken group on Facebook for updates. Ladies, remember to bring your Bible and a notebook and join Pastor Sabrina Sundays at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary for Women's Sunday School to sharpen your picture of the Word of God while exploring the Old Testament survey. There are several ways to join us as a financial partner. Visit our website, truthrevealed.org, and click the Give Online button. You can also securely donate using the Truth Revealed mobile app or text TRIMGIVE to 888-364-4483. You can also mail your contribution to 1550 Orange Blossom Trail Northeast, Palm Bay, Florida 32905. We thank you for your continued generosity to Truth Reveal and for spending time with us today.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
In the 15th chapter of the book of St. John, Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing apart from the vine.
I tried over and over to make it without Christ in my life. No matter how hard I tried, things never seem to go right. Yes, sir. Oh, but one day I put Christ first, then everything
feel right.
Fell into
line.
Now I know I can do nothing thinking apart from the vine. Feel good now, church. Lord, you wake me each morning. Lay me down every night.